Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
And even as we were just worshiping up there, I just felt the Lord just say that He really wants to conquer some of our fears tonight. And, starting with me, but that He really wants to conquer fears in His people. That the fear of whatever it might be can be the thing that paralyzes His people. And He hasn't come for a people who's paralyzed and gripped with fear, but He came and did what He did. He died on the cross. He gave His life. He came to redeem a living church. And the church today needs set free of a lot of things. Not only do the lost need set free, but we need set free of a lot of things. And I believe that the Lord wants to do that tonight. He wants to conquer fears so that we can step out and do His work and be His people who He's called us to be. I was reading the other day, and I ran across the parable of the widow and the mite, and the mite that she gave. And I read it, and when I initially read it, the initial story came to me, but then it seemed like the Lord gave me something else deeper within it. And the story of the widow and the mite, basically you had a man who came and he gave out of the abundance of what he had. He gave a good amount, but he had a lot more to give. But then came a widow, and she had hardly anything, but it says that she gave what she had. It actually says that she gave her livelihood. And I looked into that, and that impressed me, because what that says is she gave everything. And the Lord looked and was pleased with what she gave. She gave all she had, and even more than really what she had. She gave more than what she should rightfully give, because we're taught today that, I'll give enough as long as I can pay my bills. I'll give enough, as long as I can still do the things that I need to do. I'll give so much that makes sense to me. But she gave even more than that. And she gave all she had. And it put her in a place where she was only left with one option. She was put into a place of only being able to stand in faith and knowing that the Lord that she serves is her provider and is there with her and was going to see her through, and that He's faithful and that He sees what she's doing. And so as I read that, the obvious came, which is to say, let's give a little more than maybe we should. Let's be like the widow and give everything that we've got. But actually, the thing that hit me, that took me by surprise, I love it when God does that. He'll take a message, or He'll take a story, He'll take a word, and He can divide it up into as many ways as He chooses to. And the Lord opened my eyes to something new, and it goes back actually to God wanting to conquer some of our fears. I'm a worshiper, as are many of us in this room. I worship the Lord through music a lot of times. And, at first it was pretty stretching. It stretched me to get up here on stage and to strum a guitar and to sing a song. But if I'm being honest with you, at this point, I'm kind of found my flow in that, I'll just say. I've almost become a little bit comfortable with that. So for me to get up here and to strum a guitar and to worship the Lord is a good thing. And He's blessed by it. But there's certain things that the Lord's calling me to do that might even take a greater step of faith than that. Like, for instance, what I'm doing right here. Because this puts me in a position where I can't do it on my own. I can't do this in my own strength. And that's the fears that the Lord is wanting to conquer in our lives. He's wanting to stretch us to a place, because the widow, she couldn't lean back, fall back on anything other than Christ when she put herself in that position to give it all. The only thing she had that she could fall back onto in that moment was Christ. And I believe the Lord is calling his people to put themselves, to step out in a place of faith, and to step out and to put ourselves in a place where the only thing we have to lean on is Christ. There's a lot of good things that we're doing, but there's a lot of good things that we're doing in our comfort zone. And amen to that. We thank God for that. And he's gifted us, and there's certain giftings that we have, and we can move and we can operate in those things in a smooth, even flow, and praise God for that. But what about those times when the Lord says, okay, now son, okay, now daughter, I'm gonna call on you today to do the thing that you cannot do on your own. This is no longer comfortable for you. Because I'm looking for willing vessels. I'm looking for people who will say yes. You know, my journey with Christ hasn't been extremely long, about 7 years. But the only thing that I have, the only thing that I can look back on and credit anything to, the reason why I'm where I am today is for only one reason. It's because I continue to say yes. I say yes to the Lord. And sometimes I'm gripped with fear. But God is saying, I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. And that's where he wants his church to enter into that place where we step out into faith. And we step into that place where all we can do is lean on him, that we're depending on him to do that today. And so that's where I'm at today. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good even a preparer of a word or anything like that, but it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. When somebody gives me a call and says, hey, Josh, would you like to speak? In my heart, I'm going, no way. But in my spirit, I'm going, I know this is what the Lord has called me to do. And so why do I say this? I don't say this not about me. I'm not saying this for any other reason than to encourage you today in that same place. Because there's places that the Lord is calling us into that a lot of us, myself included at times, we stray away from because of fear. And I know for a fact that the Lord wants you to hear that today, that he's got you. He's got you. And we need to stand in a place of faith and let the Lord move through us. Let us quit doing the things that we can do and start doing the things that only he can do through us. We went out a couple days ago, a teen challenge. We hosted kind of a healing seminar. Not too long ago, well, this past weekend, and this guy came, and you know, he's anointed in the healing, and he came in and he taught us, and he sent us out, and we went out and we went into the streets, and it was me and two other guys, and we went out over towards Walmart there in Elkhart, and you know, our whole mission for being out was to lay hands on the sick, and you know, heal people, spread the gospel, all these good things. So we go out and we have a few good encounters. And, you know, our day kind of passes by as a couple hours, and we get back to this one location where it's me and my two partners. And I know this one guy and I don't know the other guy, but he's really standing in a place of faith. I was impressed by him all day. He was just stepping out for the Lord and just, you know, taking the rejection and praying healing over people, but it wasn't manifesting on the spot. But, you know, it wasn't discouraging us because that wasn't what it was about. You know, we were stepping out in faith for the Lord, and, you know, we're trusting God for the rest. So we get back to this central location, and we're getting ready to head back to the center, Teen Challenge. And he asked me, he said, "Hey, man, have you ever seen anybody's leg grow?" And I said, "Well, actually, I have. Because last year at this seminar, this guy was praying over a few people, and I just so happened to be there, and this guy's legs in my hands grew at, you know, the word that I spoke, that it would come out." And so, yeah, I've seen that before. And he was like, "Oh, wow." And we talked about that for a minute. And he said, "Well, let's see if anybody here, you know, do you got any back problems, or does this guy over here have any back problems?" And actually, Brandon, he's back there. He was the guy that ended up, he's got some back problems. So we said, "Hey, man, have a seat. Let's check your legs." So we checked his legs, and one was like 3/4 of an inch shorter than the other. So it's like, okay, you know, we know what to do. We're going to pray over it. We're going to demand that it come out, that it be healed, and leave the results to the Lord. So I'm holding Brandon's legs, that guy right there, I'm holding his legs in my hand, and I'm looking down. I say, "In the name of Jesus, right leg, come out." And I didn't have to say it 10 times. On that first time, it came out. And it was just a little bit short. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, continue to come out and be even with the other leg." And it came out, and it was even with the other leg. And that was a victory. And it was like, wow, you know, this is amazing. Praise God. And so I'm kind of wanting to stop right there, thinking, we got the victory. Well, this guy who was with us, he wanted to go even further. And he said, "Now command that it continue to come out." And I said, "Wait a second. I think we should just rejoice in the healing. You know, I'm not trying to play with the giftings. I'm content with what's happened so far." And he said, "No, I believe we're all believers here, and we're all here for a purpose, and we're trying to move in the giftings of the Lord, and this is for the glory of the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants to show us today just how much he wants to move through us and go over and above what we could imagine in our minds just by stepping out in faith." And so that made sense. So I said, "Okay, in the name of Jesus, right leg, come out." And it continued to come. And it continued to come. And then we stopped it and we put it back and it went past. And then we stopped it and we brought it back and it was even again. Now this sounds crazy. Why am I sharing this with you? It's not because the Lord has given us these awesome giftings that we can go manipulate and play with and mess around with. Not at all. There was a fear of the Lord within me not to do that. But on that day, the Lord wanted to give a demonstration to me and to my brother and even to the other man that he wants to overextend our expectations of him. And that if he would just find people, if he could find a people that would stand in a place of faith, that would ask for the unthinkable, that would go over and beyond what's normal. We got the victory. Let's keep going. He's looking for a people that would trust him for those type of things. Not that we could manipulate someone's leg. Not at all. That has nothing to do with it. But that we would know who we are in Christ. What he revealed to me that day is that he is with us. You know, and that seems like a simple revelation, but it's really not. We walk around and we say that we know the Lord is with us, but when you see him move through you, it just takes it to another level of really understanding how much he's with us and how much he wants to move through us and in us. And so that was actually just a word of encouragement that I felt the Lord gave me, not just as we were in worship, but actually even last night as I was preparing today, I just felt the story of the widow's mite and that he's looking for a people that would go over and beyond and watch him show up and watch him move in ways that are unexpected, you know, as we believe him for it. I've actually kind of been in a place lately, and this is where I'm getting ready to go as far as, you know, the word that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for us tonight. I've been in a place lately of really just trying to be established at the feet of the Lord. And I'm sure we can all relate to the fact that at times that can be trying. You know, we deal with distractions and we deal with temptations and we deal with a lot of different things. But my heart is to always go back to that place. If I find myself getting astray a little bit, maybe too far out there, I'm trying to continually get back to that place of sitting before the Lord. And so this is what we're going to talk about tonight. As I've been in my study time, I've really been asking the Lord for vision. I've been asking him to just renew purpose. You know, I don't want to just walk throughout my day and, you know, just go throughout my day. Go to work, you know, come home, eat dinner, go to sleep, wake up and do it again. And we're all susceptible to that. And I don't want that for my life because I know that the Lord has got a greater call on my life than that, and he has a greater call on all of our lives than that. And I want to try to unwrap a couple of things that will hopefully help us understand a couple of things. One, the fact that he does have a greater call for our lives, but also the fact that now is the time to really begin to walk into that call. So I'm going to try to unravel a few things here. I was reading in Luke 21. And this is Jesus, some of his last words to the people before they took him off and crucified him. And he was getting ready to explain some of the signs of the end times. And I'm not really going to go into that so much, but he was getting ready to explain this. And before he ever even got to giving some of those details, somebody spoke up and said, "Lord, how will we know that the end is near?" And as I was reading that, it hit me. You know, we could take the tone of voice and we could take the motive behind what the person was saying, maybe in a few different ways, but what I felt the Lord was revealing to me in that moment was the tone of this person's voice is almost coming from a place of wanting to know when to begin to get ready. Lord, how will we know that the time is drawing near? In other words, I want to be able to continue doing what I'm doing until I got to get ready. You know, it's like a football player in the off season. You know, they go throughout the season and they work hard and they train hard. And the football season comes to a close and they've got, you know, a couple of months maybe of downtime. And they know when the season's going to start up again. They know when off season's going to start. They know when 2 days are going to start. And they know when the first game's going to be. So they can kind of plan their future in a sense. And as I was reading that, that was really just what hit me, is that this person was kind of looking to be able to make some plans, some provisions. I would venture to say some provisions for the flesh maybe, so that they could continue to walk just right up into that place and then begin to prepare. But I love what the Lord says. And you won't actually find this exact wording unless you go about 30 more verses, give or take. But basically what the Lord says is, the kingdom of heaven is near. So this person is wanting to know some specific details. Let me know, God, when is this time coming? And the Lord just gives a simple answer. And we see it all throughout the gospel. We see it all throughout the life of Jesus. We see it throughout the life of John. We see it throughout others as well. And what did the Lord send John out to say? What did Jesus himself go and say? Repent. Be baptized. Prepare the way. For the kingdom is near. And I'm intrigued by that because that was like 2,000 years ago. Jesus was saying the kingdom is near like 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist was saying the same thing. So why would they do that? I mean, near to us is like maybe a couple of years, maybe 10 years at best, maybe, you know, a couple of months, a few days. It's near, it's coming. But Jesus' response to all is that the kingdom is near. Even that's his response to us today. The kingdom is near. And I got a couple of things here, reasons why, because like I said, that intrigued me. So I looked into that a little bit. And why does he respond like this? Matthew 12:28 says, if by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is among you. And what that did for me is it opened my eyes, and I already knew this, but it's really a truth in the Word that says that the kingdom of heaven is not simply a destination. It's not simply a destination. The Scripture says, if by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is among you. So if the Spirit comes on you, then the kingdom has come on you. Therefore, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is with us. The kingdom is within us in Christ. So when this person is saying, how long do I have until I can really begin to dig in? Because right now I'm pretty comfortable in my flesh. You got no time. The kingdom is near. It is upon you. It is with you, and you can't even see it right now. Another kind of obvious reason is simply that we're not promised tomorrow. So even if we're looking at the destination aspect, because there is a destination aspect. I mean, there is. We're not promised tomorrow. And if we're waiting, I remember that was my downfall. A lot of you probably don't know my testimony, but I was a drug addict. I was, a messed up guy for a few years. About 7 years, I was, in a really bad place, doing a lot of bad things. And my scapegoat was constantly kind of similar to really what I hear this person saying. There's going to come a day in my life where I'm going to be ready. You know, God, I hear you calling, but I'm not quite ready. I'm pretty sure I probably got tomorrow, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And tomorrow I'll deal with the consequences, or I'll get better. And that was the deception that I was in. And actually, a part of my testimony is there was a night that the Lord visited me in Greenville, Texas. He visited me and he spoke to me and he himself told me, if you think that one day you're just going to wake up and you're going to be ready to do this just because you're going to be ready, then you're deceived and you're going to be doing this for the rest of your life. The only thing that's going to free you is that you would surrender your life to me right now. And in that moment, his presence was on me in such a powerful way that I said yes to the Lord and I surrendered and he freed me on the spot. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for that. But we're not promised tomorrow. So even the destination aspect of the kingdom of God could be nearer than we realize. But the thing that really resonates in my soul more than anything is what Jesus was saying And what John was saying, and what anybody else is saying when they come saying the kingdom of heaven is near, what they're saying is, now is the time. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next year, but now is the time. Matthew 24, 36 through 44, I'm going to read that. It says, but of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And as a church of God, that's his charge to us, is that we would be ready, that we would be not just ready for his return, because the kingdom of heaven is near. It is with us. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. So we're not just preparing for the destination. We're not just trying to get ready for his return, although that's a part of it as well. But the further that I'm going with the Lord, the more that I'm really appreciating this life. Because I see day after day that Christ wants to do his work right now. Not some grand destination where all things come together, but he wants to move in and through us just as much right now. So if I'm going to be honest, I'm not necessarily... You're probably going to take this weird, but I'm just going to say it. I'm not necessarily longing for the day that I'm going to go to heaven and be with Jesus. Now I am. Don't get me wrong. I can't wait for that day. But today is the day. Now is the time to be ready, to do his bidding, to find ourselves where he's called us to be, as his church, as his people. Set apart, sanctified, holy and righteous, beloved, known, called by name, the children of God. This is who we are. The light of the world, the salt of the earth. This is who we are. Called to be ready right now. Now is the time to answer the call. And going back to what I started out saying, my journey right now consists of a lot of striving to be at his feet. So what does it look like to be ready? And I'm going to tell you what the first thing is. Before anything else, is to sit at his feet. Is to spend time with the Lord. One-on-one. Intimate relationship with Jesus. And I've been guilty of this. You know, and as the church, sometimes on our best days, we strive for ministry. Amen. Praise God for that. We're out on the streets. We're ministering. We're doing these things, and they're great, and they're of the Lord, and it's what God's called us to do. But sometimes the ministry can actually get ahead of what needs to be our foundation as believers, which is to sit at his feet. And here's the beautiful thing. Here's the freedom in it all. As we sit at his feet, he orchestrates the rest. He takes care of the rest. I know when I've not been sitting at the feet of Jesus, because the rest of my life is probably in a little bit of chaos. And I know when I've been sitting at the feet of Jesus, because the rest of my life is in order. It's not works. Works is a product of sitting at his feet. A couple of the things I wrote down here. The first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first thing we've got to do. Something that stuck out to me again was Paul's charge when Paul was laying out kind of the groundwork for the gifts and the callings, and he was saying, you know, there's apostles and there's prophets and there's teachers and there's evangelists and preachers and those who admonish and those who encourage and all these things. And he goes down this long list, and that there at the end he said, but seek the greater gifts. So if you were to stop there, then you would think, okay, well, the greater gifts, apostleship and prophecy and preaching and teaching. But then he actually finishes with the greatest gift. But love is the greatest gift of all. Seek first the greater gifts. Seek the greater gifts. Seek love first. And that goes back to sitting at his feet. That has to be our priority as believers, as the church, is to first and foremost sit at his feet. And why is this such an important message? Why do I hear a lot of people speaking on this? Because that's one of the toughest things to do. Can I be honest? I just want to be honest and say that at times that can be the toughest thing to do. It's real easy. It's real easy to go out. I'm not going to say it's easy. And do ministry. It's not easy, but it's compared to putting off the things of the world, all the distractions that are trying to come in. Do you know what intention it takes to clear our mind of the distractions of this life? That takes intention. That takes drive and desire and passion. That takes a real effort, I would say, to put off the distractions of this world. That's why it's one of the toughest things. I got Luke 7:23. Wait a second. I got written down 2:23, but I didn't think that was right. Maybe it is. Oh, I see. 34. I'm sorry. Forgive me, guys. I'm reminding myself of Eric Swanson right now. Luke 7:34. Man, that ain't it either. Eric, you're rubbing off on me, bro. Come on, dude. But here's what Scripture says. I've got it written down right here. It says, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down by the cares of this life, and that day would come on you unexpectedly, the return of the Son of Man. You know what sticks out to me there? Take heed to yourself. Jeremiah 17:9-10 is the scripture that says that our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all else. You know, and we go throughout this life, and there's all these things coming at us, all these good things. And if we're not careful, they're going to latch on, and they latch on, and they hit us. And we grab them because our heart desires these things at times. You know, the money, the cars, the clothes, all these types of things, even good things at times. A new guitar, that's a battle I have all the time. Scrolling Craigslist for a new guitar. That is one of the biggest distractions in my life. And I got to fight against that with all I have. And sometimes I feel like I'm back in the days of addiction. I don't have anything in my lungs or a needle in my veins, but my heart is way over here and Jesus is way over here. And my heart gets torn in all these directions. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down by the cares of this life, that day might come on you unexpected. So I want to encourage us today, and I want to remind us, and I want to exhort us as the church, that now is the time. Let's put off the lie that we have tomorrow. And you know something, I was praying today and I was thinking, God, you know more than anything, this message is for me. This message is for me. But it's for all of us as well. That we would put off the thought that we've got tomorrow, that we'll deal with it in another time. But let's realize our purpose that the Lord has in our lives. He's got a great purpose and a plan for us. He's got a vision that he wants to fulfill in us. And it all starts with really being in that intimate place with him. Sitting before him. Hearing his heart towards us. Hearing his heart for us. And if we're never listening, we'll never know. If we're busy, 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 we'll never know. And the cares of this world, they're right at our doorstep. And it takes intention and purpose and drive and passion to not let those things become the leaders and the rulers of our life, but to keep Jesus at the forefront. Amen. Keep Jesus at the forefront. So I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, Lord. And hear our hearts cry, God, that as your people, we are on this journey, this adventure. It's full of hills and valleys, mountain peaks and streams and rivers, and sometimes there's droughts in the land, God. Sometimes the view is beautiful. Sometimes it's not so desirable, Lord. It's a journey. It's an adventure with you, Jesus. But that we would keep you at the forefront of it all. That you would be the leader of our lives, truly, God. Reveal to us, Lord, those things in our lives that we've allowed to come in. And to take seat in our heart, Father. Cast them down in Jesus' name. Those things that have taken seat in our heart. That we would be free of fear. And that we would be a pure people before you, God. That we would be empty vessels for your cause. That's why we're here. Give us that revelation today, Lord, that that's the only reason we were even placed on this earth. was to do your will, was to worship you, to serve you, God. Let us not lose sight of that, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Just take a few minutes and talk to the Lord. If something's out to you, if this resonates in your heart, just take a couple of minutes and just talk to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Be glorified as we go. Just shine through us, Jesus. Each one of us in this place, Lord, just shine through us as your servants, as your vessels, God, as your children, your hands and feet on this earth. We love you. We thank you for everything, God. You deserve the honor and the glory and the praise. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you guys are dismissed on behalf of Pastor Bob. We'll see you next time.